a key thing, and it's in the McDonald report, was that we expected in BC to have 2,000 more qualified students for the freshman year in 1965 than in 1964. And as that map I showed you shows, the location of Simon Fraser made it ideal to take a large proportion of that 2,000. And in fact, when we opened in 1965, in September, we had 2,500 students, not all freshmen, and that was the goal. And that dictated what we were going to do. It meant that we wouldn't take any low enrollment subjects. At UBC, music and fine arts were just getting going, and they had very low enrollments, so we wouldn't do those. We would only take things that had relatively high enrollments. But again, this was our decision. It fitted what the McDonald report had said. It fitted what the government projection was. But I don't know what would have happened if we had aimed at getting, say, 500, or as some of the universities did, 20. But we didn't. We had accepted that. We basically accepted the McDonald report proposals, except that it was a university instead of a four-year college. The gossip there was that Premier Bennett was very hostile to UBC and wanted a competitive in the region. That's pure gossip. The other thing was that Victoria had been campaigning to be a university for years. It was the provincial capital. It had a lot of influential MLAs and so on. And the other gossip was that Bennett really had no choice but to make Victoria a university. And if he made Victoria a university, then it meant that the one in Burnaby should be a university. So that's the beginning, and that's why it was exciting. And the other thing, of course, was that to get it done between the opening of the office in January 64 and September 65, we had to recruit the faculty, first of all the heads and then the faculty, and plan for 2,000 at least students. As it turned out, we got 2,500. And we built the campus in that time. That was the main campus with the mall, the academic quadrangle, the library, the theatre, the gymnasium and the swimming pool. And Schramm revealed later that he wasn't sure it could be done. But if anyone could have done it, Schramm was the one. Because as head of BC Hydro, he had tremendous power over both the contractors and the unions. He was handing out with the dams in the north and the conversion of everything, he was handing out billions of dollars in contracts. And he threatened the contractors and the unions that if they ever had a strike, that was the last time they were going to get a job from him. So no one else could have done it. And I have great admiration for him. And I think he and Cowan were a perfect team. No one ever accused Schramm of being tactful. And no one ever accused MacTaggart Cowan of aggression or so on. I thought they were a perfect team for what we did. Yes. But it did mean that Schramm had a tremendous influence. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone else could have got it done. I don't think anyone else would finally have agreed to what we did that was successful.
Yes.
And the only major mistake we made on the building, and I shouldn't say we, I had nothing to do with the building, was we forgot that there was no road up to Simon Fraser. We should have known, because there was only a logging road up, and before I was appointed, I and another chap had walked up to look at the site at the top. And so that logging road became the road that was used to build Simon Fraser. And we had $28 million, I think, and we'd used it all when we realized that we hadn't got a road. And Shrum went to the government and they said, well, that was his problem. So we set out trying to fundraise to build a road. And the story is that Jimmy Sinclair, Margaret Trudeau's father, had been a very influential MP in Ottawa, leader of the Liberal Party. And he'd retired, and he was head of Lafarge Cement, the huge French cement company. He was head of it in British Columbia. And the gossip, again it's gossip, is that Shrum knew him and persuaded him to donate a tremendous amount of cement to build a road on the grounds that cement had never been used as the base of roads in British Columbia. And that's how we got the cement to build it up. When I tell engineers that story, they always say, and it was quite right not to use cement.
Oh.
But at any rate, it was then, because the government chipped in, it was renamed Gallardi Way. And I've always thought it should be Sinclair Way. But at any rate, so that was the story on the building and the beginning.
When you first walked to the top of the mountain, what did it look like?
Well, it was basically like that picture I showed you. There was a kind of a microwave tower up there, and there was a water tower. Otherwise, it had been cleared pretty well when I went up there at the top, and it was just a flat piece at the top. Actually, when they started construction and they started digging piles down to take the buildings, they found that whilst it was earth under some parts, it was rock under some parts, and that caused some construction problems later on. But nevertheless, Erickson and Massey had won the contest, the architectural contest that Shrum had set up, and they followed one of the rules that Shrum had made. Shrum didn't like the UBC and traditional Canadian campus of separate buildings for separate departments, a chemistry building here, a physics building here, and as he said, you walked in the rain from one building to another. On top of that, it meant all sorts of trees. And Shrum liked trees in gardens and things, but he didn't like the upkeep of them on campus. So the design of Simon Fraser is that the academic quadrangle was the academic center. On one side was the arts faculty. On the other side was the science faculty. And eventually on one side was the social science faculty. But it was the center. And you could get to the center from any other teaching area on the campus through underground passageways. That's why in a parody I wrote of Simon Fraser, everything's up to date at Simon Fraser, everything's up to date at SFU. They can go from class to class and not go in the cold. They even stamp their students do not mutilate or fold. And they've just pushed out a PhD. He's only 5 years old. They've gone about as far as they can go. But that was true. And originally, we had a faculty coffee shop right in the middle. And the scientists came up and the arts people, and we all met. And in all the ludicrous upheavals that the new faculty brought us, largely from Berkeley, that was considered elitist, and it was wiped out. Well, once that was wiped out, the faculty wouldn't walk to the centre just for a coffee to meet other people. And there simply wasn't that kind of meeting place. So one of the key designs disappeared in the nonsense that happened.